Yeah, so we're going to have a time of worship. My heart is, as much as we are learning, which of course we're going to be learning certain things that we need. Some of us sometimes think we don't need some things. Okay, in 2005, I was going to do my IT. I was studying computer science and mathematics at that time. So I was going to do my IT somewhere. But the truth is, because I know where I'm going in life, I was one of the best in class, but I told my friends, you know what, I'm going to do my IT in a studio. And everybody was wondering, what's he talking about? Are you normal doing your IT in a studio? How do you want to work that out? I said, somehow we'll work it out. They have computers in the studio. We'll just, you know, put it together. Anyways, I went to do my IT in the studio. It was a big studio owned partly by Lagos State Government and an organization. So it was, at that time, it was the biggest studio in West Africa. Okay, so I worked there and I started reading about sound and learning about sound. So the most interesting topic for me at that time was microphone techniques. So I read a lot about microphone techniques. The mic is not just the instrument for the singer. The drummers also use the microphones. And I've been to a lot of places and I just realized, as in, this drummer is just ignorant. And that's why his drum is not sounding right in the house, because he has turned the setting of the microphone in a way that it doesn't make sense. You know, so he's expecting it, you know. So I learned a lot about all that and about sound engineering. In 2008, the Lord told me to do a recording. And he specifically said that I should do a live recording. Now, at that time, live recordings were not popular in Nigeria. They are still not so popular because it's very cost intensive and it's very risky. If anything goes wrong, that's the way it's going to be. You know, there's little or nothing you can do in the studio. Yes, you can change, overdub, do some things, but if you do too much of that, it loses the purpose of it. It's no more live. Okay, so 2008, I stepped out in faith to do my first live recording. And because of the knowledge I had gathered in sound engineering, I wasn't just a singer or a musician. I knew certain things and I knew what I wanted. I knew that we cannot have the drums right behind me and then I'm singing here. It will mess up the entire recording. I knew certain things. I knew that, I mean, for my singers and for me, you know, to get the best part of our voices, you don't, as in, try as much as possible not to sing too far from the microphone, because if you are singing too far from the microphone, then the microphone being loud is also picking every other thing. So even if you are hearing the drums, let's assume Fred Hammond is doing a live recording. So you have the drummer playing, you know, he's playing loud and all that. The drum is being recorded on a different channel, but if he's singing this way, the way a Pastor Paul would speak, you know, some of us want to, understanding these things help you as a singer, help you become professional. In fact, yesterday, Mr. Tayo explained it very well. I mean, and he talked about the techniques of holding the mic such that if you become very used to it, you will know, I mean, it can be used to your advantage. So all these things that we do in singing and all that, they are techniques. They are not just, I saw that person likes holding mic like that, okay? You know, so it helped me get the best out of my recording in 2008. Now, the only person I had known or I know who had tried doing live recordings before that time is Pastor Wale Adenuga, where he did, I've forgotten that album now, he really sold, where he had Today, Oh, I Lift Up, and a couple of those songs, Lord, Because of Me. You know, and so him, Chris Delvern had recorded in the UK He had recorded one or two in Nigeria as well. How many of us know Pastor Chris Delvon? Okay. By the way, yesterday I said that we should look for the scripture where Moses wrote the song. She did. Okay, she had her hands up first. Can you tell us the scripture?
Deuteronomy 31 from verse 19 to 30. Then 32.
Brilliant. Please, let's appreciate her. So you just won yourself a wonderful, this gift is life, is life-giving by Pastor Chris Delvon. Pastor Chris Delvon's project. This project is wonderful. It was one of the best I have heard in Nigeria. One of the best, trust me. New Nation Project. Okay, so let's go on. Somebody else might get another gift today. So there were not a lot of people that had tried live recordings, but because I had a little idea of sound. Meanwhile, when I was learning sound, my intention was to be a sound engineer and to plan live recordings for the popular guys like Samuel Poso, then back then, Segun Obe, I can't remember all of them now. I was trying to do it because I had been so blessed by Integrity Music, all those guys. I saw that, man, these guys have worship, you know, they experience worship in America, but we said we have our own. Because I've been to meetings where it's so intense. Some of us know, we've been to such atmospheres that I just felt the world should also experience what we have. So when God said to me in 2008 to do a live recording, he said specifically because I want you to capture not just the songs, but the spirits behind the songs. So I plan to do a live recording. And everybody who attended that recording that day did not know what we're doing. They just attended it. They thought it was a concert. That recording came out in 2009, a year later. And these are some of the things that will inspire you. Okay, for those of us that are called to maybe release something or do a project. Not everybody's called to release an album or do all that, okay? Okay, so thank you. So I went on to do that recording in 2008 and my knowledge helped me. What I'm just saying is that everything that you are learning, you don't know when you will need it. Yesterday 2 days ago, I was opening an old note of mine and I saw a prophecy written April 10th, 2016, I think, you know, and it was my pastor speaking over my life. And he said specifically that you will birth a worship school. I wrote it down and it never occurred to me until yesterday that I went back to it and I said, oh, okay. Somehow God just works. And you don't know that every knowledge that you are gathering is for a particular time and season, you know. So I want to say a few things this morning about worship, and then we'll worship for a little bit before we have our first speaker. Before we have our first speaker. Father, we thank you. We acknowledge your presence with us. We open up our hearts and we ask that you teach us that which is upon your heart in Jesus' name. Blessed be your name. Amen. Okay, so this is very short, probably in 5 minutes. Just a few thoughts that I want to leave with us. We might have heard or attended some classes or heard sermons, teachings on worship. And one or two of the things that I have learned or about worship, just to share with us. Some time back, I was asking the Holy Spirit why there began to be so much emphasis on worship. Now, before this season of my life, I had worked with several musicians and all that, different styles. I was personal keyboardist to Rooftop MCs for maybe 6 years, to Bookie, the rap Bookie, for like 7 years. As I worked with them long, it's not my style, you know. And prior to that time, I don't even listen to rap. But God had a reason to make me work with them. And my eyes was open to a lot of things working with those guys. So I began to understand that what we do is beyond, you know, I mean, the what we, church worship and all that. But I'm going somewhere with this thought. So God used that to teach me a lot of things. But I also discovered that after a period of time, the popularity for use of the word of worship started getting much. So we have people, before this time, every church has a program. They're inviting one guest artist to another. Worship leaders then didn't have a place except in their churches, okay? But after a while, you started noticing a change. And every poster, concert, you now have one worship leader, two worship leaders. In fact, I remember back then, my friends like Corey and Eben, you know, gospel musicians did music. It wasn't necessarily worship music. It was music. I don't know if you guys remember, because things just moved gradually, and then we just... So, my friends like Eben and Corey had sent me messages sometimes to say, man, David, we love what you are doing, man. Just keep doing it. Like, we all can do that. So it was quite uncommon. But things started changing. All of a sudden, everybody started turning towards worship. Sounds like Hill songs became popular, you know, and the rest of them, Planet Shakers and Jesus Culture, started, which is more recent anyways. You know, and then I was asking God one day, I'm like, why the whole thing about worship? Even gospel artists who do music, most of them, you know, started writing and doing worship songs and all that. In fact, if you listen to Peter's first album and listen to his last album, you'll see the transition. It was performance driven basically in the first times, in the earlier times. So one of the things God said to me was quite shocking. And he said to me that he's raising the emphasis for worship in this time is because we're about to hit hard times. Contrary to what we all think or feel, but this is what he said to me, that we're about to hit hard times. And these times, it takes only true worshipers to stand through or live through those times. Whether we have hit it or not, I don't know. Whether it's still coming. But I know that since then, that he spoke to me and now, very difficult times have hit us. About that time, I was ministering somewhere in Kaduna State. And one of the guys who is like the worship leaders in the church, in that service, they were celebrating him. He had just died. This was 2 years ago or thereabouts, when Buhari became president, shortly before Buhari was, when he became president. What happened to him? He went home for the elections, and, you know, there was a lot of tension that time. Who we win, whether it was Jonathan, you guys don't even remember. Sometimes I will just forget things very easily. There was tension. I remember that Sunday after the election, I went to minister at this president house, one of their churches, you know, and I went to like two places that Sunday morning, and I was wondering, is this Lagos? There were no cars on the road. Everybody was in their houses. Like, people were afraid that stuff would happen, you know, and this young man was on his way back when the election results were being announced. Immediately, they heard that their brother had won and all. These guys took to the street in Kaduna with clubs, machetes, that guys, everything. And in celebration of the whatever, if you don't look like us, they catch you and they kill you. So they caught this young guy, very fine dude. He sings wonderful, led in worship. People are feeling the presence of God. And they stabbed him crazy. He was only able to make a phone call before he died. You know, because they were just moving like locusts, just killing and moving. You know, so they stabbed him, dumped his body in the bush beside, and they were just going on. Who knows how many other people they killed. So he was able to make a phone call before he died, you know. the people he called, family and all that, on their way had found him. He was already dead before they got there. You know, and then God started speaking to me again. And God said, we have a wrong mindset as it has to do with worship. Some of us think that worship will save our lives. I mean, because I'm a worshiper. So we expect certain things from God. We expect that, okay, God, because I've worshipped you today. You know, we even hear it on our altar, said by our ministers and even by the worship leaders, that because of this worship you have worshipped today. You know, and then we have thoughts like that. Someone called me on a particular day and asked him a question. He said, why do we do this worship thing? Why is it so insane? As because sometimes it's crazy. Don't you think about it? You give your all in the place of worship. You are, and you just expect the issues and the problems of life to disappear because you have touched God. And I said, you know what? I'll call you back. So I sat and I thought about it, and I asked the Holy Spirit, what's this worship all about, first of all? Now, it's a wide thing. But the first thing he said to me is this. He said, the reason why we worship, that when you worship, he said, first of all, be satisfied in the mere fact that you are giving God what he wants. In other words, you are not worshiping because you need something from God. You are not worshiping because he has done something for you. And actually, there's a definition of worship I need to give to us so that we understand that I'm not talking about slow music or singing. You know, because in worship, in the place of worship, everything, I'm assuming that most of us here have come over that. If I asked you to define worship in one word, what would that be? Somebody help me. In one word. Just try.
A relationship with God.
Relationship with God. In one word, if you have a word.
A lifestyle.
A lifestyle. Somebody else. In one word. What do you say? Sacrifice. Beautiful. In one word. Adoration. So she mentioned relationship with God. He mentioned adoration. He said sacrifice. And he said, what did you say? A lifestyle. You say a nature. Good. Now, we all have our definition of worship and all that. And nobody's wrong. It's actually correct. You know? But what's two basic things that we will see from scripture that teaches us that worship is will be sacrifice and obedience. Okay, so we see that play out in the life of Abraham, where Abraham obeyed God to go with his son, and where he chose in his heart to make the sacrifice. So worship is not happening without obedience or sacrifice. But then the Lord now capped it all up to me again on another day and said, obedience and sacrifice are the elements of your worship, but obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I can't say so much about it, but there's a lot that can be said about that. But it plays down into the minutest things that we do and the mistakes that we make that can allow the Spirit of God depart from us. Simple. I'll give you simple examples that you will not think of, because I know that your mind will be thinking of other things. So fine, the Holy Spirit will help you understand. But let me give you simple mistakes that we make. That sometimes I see that person and I know that this person is not a worshiper. This person is not a worshiper. When you have no room, I mean, when your heart is filled with yourself, there is no room for God there. So sometimes we're on stage and we are full of ourselves. God cannot be glorified in that kind of worship. You are worshiping yourself. These are the reasons why, or as in you would be in at different worship meetings and or the same worship meeting, and you see two people lead in worship, and the experience is different. The experience is different. So, yes, worship is about, like I said, the obedience and sacrifice, but obedience is better than sacrifice. So, your pastor tells you, just lead us in worship for 15 minutes or for 10 minutes. And somehow you are full of the Holy Ghost. And by the 14th minute, you open your eyes and people are on the floor and people are, you know, and you feel that you have the permission of the Holy Spirit to continue. Obedience is better than sacrifice. There are some things that we do in obedience. Listen, my biggest example for a worship leader is Jesus. Do you know that Jesus went to the cross? It was more about obedience than the sacrifice. He didn't even want to do it. He didn't even want to give that sacrifice. It was too much for him. I find choir members today that make, a lady came to complain to me one day that I was at a seminar. We had, it was an entire province of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. So I had to teach them on a particular aspect of worship. And after the class, she couldn't quite say so much in the class because her leaders were there. So she came to meet me afterwards to say, you know, she doesn't understand the kind of leader she has. Maybe they don't even fear God, blah, blah, blah. She has been in that choir. You know, they will just be doing parakpo. They have their own group. The people that sing, they will not let her sing. And she knows how to sing. And I was just looking at her like, oh my God, where do I start from? You know, and then she went on and she has had issues with them, quarrel with them. And she said, can you imagine that they told me that I should be taking Tuesday service of praise, that, but Sunday service they will not give me. Hey. I wanted to weep. As in little things that, it just shows that your heart is not, John chapter 15, in John chapter 15 verse 6, but John chapter 15, Jesus said clearly, he says that these people draw close to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. So worship is beyond all that. Now, the sacrifice I was talking about, I mean, it being more than the music, whether it's fast or slow, and all that. But there is something that makes your worship or your sacrifice very effective, very strong. It makes, I mean, it allows the presence of God to sit on you. Now, what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to serve Ogbono Soup and Eba in traffic. But I'm trying to convert it to Gala and La Casera because a lot of stuff, I'm just saying a lot of things in a short time because I'm not supposed to be doing this now. Minister Emeka, please, I want you to lead us in worship. Let's appreciate my friend and brother. Very humble man of God. And some people will say, do you know I'm very humble? Please let people call you humble. You know, it's one of the marks of a worshiper too. Humility is that. I mean, you can't be proud and no. It doesn't work. It doesn't work with the presence of God. Imagine that you are proud, then God now starts showing you people that He is healing as a result of your singing. My God, the honorarium in charge that church is those kind of people that charge. Abi, the honorarium in charge that church, you will charge double next time. Don't you know? You know, as in some things we do, and just to show off. Jesus walked on water. There was no crowd there. In the night, he was walking on water. He was just doing his own thing. You know, some of the greatest worship experiences you will have, say, will be by yourself alone. I'm telling you. In your sitting room. That's why sometimes I wonder, when people call me to come and lead worship for them, that they are giving me plenty money. They are giving me... whether you give me or not, I'm just there enjoying myself, really. You know, I have a friend that loves to worship. She can do anything for worship. T.Y. Belo. Sorry, I mentioned her name. It's Peter that is putting that anointing in me. T.Y. Belo is amazing. As in, sometimes both of us alone, two of us, we spend hours in her studio, in her living room. She has a grand piano. And we just worship for hours. Two of us. It's madness. We're not madness. We just worship for hours. And at the end of the hours, she's now saying that she still has one cow to kill. Say, kill your cow now. You know, but you know our cow now, Sha. You're looking at me like you don't understand. You know, I'm speaking in parables. Okay, so she takes a check, and that's her cow. And so she slaughters it. I was telling some people on Saturday that God is the same God that we worship today that they were worshiping those days. If I brought in a cow or a ram right now into this auditorium, they pull that thing in. And it came all the way to this place. And I slaughtered it. I'm like, let's lift our hands to the Lord. And I cut and the blood begins to pour everywhere. Some people just stand up and start going out because this is not a shrine. Like, this is really bloody. But we serve a bloody God. Permit me to say that in quotes. We serve a bloody God. It's the same God. He did not change. It's that same God that they were serving then. That they were killing bulls and rams and doves and all that. I was receiving it and, this is awesome. The same God that you and I were worshiping today. So what changed about worship? Because God did not change. So I love to tell people that God still receives blood. I hate to see people serve in church without a passion. I mean, you are doing it like nothing is dying. You are not losing anything. They even paid your transport to come. I grew up in a pastor's house, okay? And my dad is a very good man, as in I love him till tomorrow. He's a very good man, so he's not one of those pastors that we complain about. You know, we went through a lot growing up. We did not have, in fact, by my SS2 in secondary school, I told myself that I would never ask him for anything again because I knew that he did not have. So not even to go to the university, I saw myself through university, through worship. I never ask anybody for anything. They know me. Till tomorrow, I do everything I do. Whether I'm doing a concert in Zimbabwe or whatever, it's what I have that I use. And God has always shown up for me. From that time, I said I will not ask him for anything. So I saw him give his life to the work of ministry. I was making a joke last Saturday morning that if I called my dad now, I'm sure he's 72. You see, if I call him now, I'm sure he's out on evangelism, preaching the gospel. That's how he is. I saw him give his life. I saw him do stuff. And you're not doing it because of money. That's who a real worship leader is. Because there is nowhere you stand to worship from the Old Testament to the New Testament that you can worship two gods at the same time. Is it possible? Whatever you are worshiping is right before you. So let us assume that you have God and God alone right before you. That is the height of your worship. So we stand here to lead. We stand there to sing. We stand there to play. And somewhere in your mind, you are thinking, okay, so we'll start with this song. And then you probably genuinely begin to worship God. And your heart is there worshiping the Lord. Then you open your eyes and people are not really connecting. Maybe people are cold or it looks cold and all that. And you're thinking, which song will I sing? Oh, I want a song that will make them, you know, that will ginger them. This be safe. Onos, Alagbara, United Alagbara. Now, you are there still thinking, there's a pitch he did. Blah, 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 blah. And several thoughts fill our minds that just excuse God from the picture. And God is just wondering, I thought it's me that's supposed to be there. Someone said a story of a man that went to a church one day. And so he got to the church and he met somebody outside. And the person was Jesus, sitting outside. And he said, Jesus, what are you doing here? And Jesus said, they didn't let me in. So worship for us, it begins with our lives. Because yes, he used to receive blood then of bulls and rams. He still receives blood today. You're in the choir. All you do is complain. Hey, I didn't come for rehearsal. They didn't send me text message. I didn't know about it. They didn't whatever. Do you realize that everything you do is sacrifice to the Lord? Everything we do. That's why I said one time, I wrote an article and I said, it's easier to lead worship from this point. Try leading by your life. Because the Bible, yes, we do not have worship leaders and choir people like us that the Bible talked about a lot. But we are a lot right now and we're a voice. But the Bible is full of the lives of worshipers that we learn from. I mean, three of the, there's a group they sing powerfully well. I love their harmony together. They are strong individually, but together, three of them, they sing As in, they sing to my heart every time I hear them or I read about them. They are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because the song they were singing in the place of the fire was, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And their lives to God, it was louder to his ears than you singing it. And you still get home or get somewhere and then compromise, whether at work or in school. So our worship begins from this thing, from your life. And it begins from the little things, the little things. When I started working with God, I was an addict to TV. I loved music videos. I just watched all that, you know, and that was one of the first things I had to put out. You know, because at every point at every point in your life, you've got to make a sacrifice. That's your real worship. I know I left some points hanging, but the Holy Spirit will complete them. Let me just end with this, and Emeka will lead us in some time of worship. I was saying that what makes there is something that makes your sacrifice acceptable. It makes it powerful. I hope you know that it's not everything we give up here that is acceptable to God. Look, choir leaders, let me beg you. You'll be doing your people a favor to help them understand these things. I'm not just after you singing. I'm concerned about your life. Because what does he pay you? That after doing all this work, attending all the rehearsals, you know, buying all the uniforms, doing all those sacrifices, and nothing was accepted. It was rejected by God. Because many of us don't even know. It's when we get to heaven. Jesus said it. You'll not be wondering all the work I was doing. He says, depart from me. Do I know you? Some of us, it won't be depart from me, yeah. But you think that you would have built something for yourself in heaven, but it was nothing. You were doing nothing. In fact, you collected all your reward on earth. That's one of the things that I fear the most. Jesus said it. Some people will collect all their reward in honorariums on earth. And in heaven, there is nothing for them. Jesus said about certain things. And he said, when you do these things, don't do it so that people will see you. And he adds that if you do it that way, he says you would have received your reward. That's the line that I'm afraid of. It means that I'm giving a gift to somebody or I'm trying to be a blessing to her. But in my heart, I wasn't doing it unto the Lord in worship. I was doing it so that they will see that, you know, I can do this thing too. And so I gave her an expensive gift. I gave her my car. I gave her my car and I don't have another one. So everybody can see that, I mean, this guy is a giver. But that was why I gave. Jesus says that you have received your reward. God forbid. That was all you wanted. That was all you got. That people recognize that you did this thing. So imagine how many things we do on stage just so that people will recognize that I can do it. The worship time that we have on stage is not about you. Has nothing to do with you. It is not about the songs that you like to sing or the songs that you want to sing. It's not about you. We're in a training meeting and someone brought up a topic about singing popular songs when you worship and blah, blah, blah and all. And we spoke about which Olumide is going to talk about the prophetic. I learned, as in God taught me after many years of leading worship, prophetic worship from Olumide Inyo, Victoria Renze, and by the, she'll be with us tomorrow. We'll just have a worship experience. And Nathaniel, a couple of my friends, years back. So the Holy Spirit wants to go in this direction, but this is where you want to go. There's no room for God in a heart that is full of self. So I was talking about the life that and the sacrifice that makes more meaning. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 that Abel brought his offering to the Lord on a particular day, and Cain did the same thing. The same way we all bring what we have. Because on a Sunday morning, let me let you know that you are bringing your sacrifice as well. You don't have to tell your choir leader what you went through to be in church. That's your own sacrifice. There are days I had to walk, as in I didn't have money. Trek to church. I was talking about my father's church. Every Sunday, I will come, I and my brothers, we will come to church. We will carry chairs on our head, canopies. Set it up early in the morning. As in, I look like a factory worker on Sundays. We will set it up, all the dirt, everything. As we are finishing now, we are running it, you know, on stage. I play the keyboard. My elder brother plays the bass. My younger brother plays the drums. Some of us will know my younger brother, Prince Chibuzo. He plays the drums. Three of us will run and start playing. We'll minister, you know, do all the whole church play. And it wasn't our kind of churches now that we do 1 hour, 30-minute service or 1 hour service. Then we'll start church 8. We'll finish like 2. You know, that kind of a thing. You know, and we'll do all that. And then church is closed and everybody has gone. We'll stack the chairs back. We'll go out, bring down canopies, roll and go and return them. And do it was labor every Sunday. And we're not doing it to be paid. Who was paying us? But guess what? There is no point that I get to in my life that I feel that I've given enough. There's a song I wrote, "No sacrifice can justify the price he paid for me on Calvary." So people who know me know I'm very passionate about what I do. I would do it even if, I mean, so these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were just it for me. Their lives sang loud. As in, sometimes you are singing, I'm singing a song, you know, and the Holy Spirit can tell you, oh boy, you're lying. Because you can't lie to God. What's this song? There's this song that says, my life, something. I can't remember that song. It's a popular song. But some of the greatest worshippers are not on stage. There are people that are doing stuff. It was obedience for Jesus to go to that cross. Lord, I give you my heart. I live for you alone. Strong line. Don't rush through it. Don't rush. You can't even rush. Don't rush. Please. We are all at different places in worship. I can be coming from Moe. Somebody is coming from Ireland. And that person living here. Don't rush. If that is not you yet, take the journey. And don't just sing for people. Otherwise, you will be a castaway. So there's power in praise and worship. I've experienced it, but many times we lose it. And because of some of these things I'm saying. So I was talking about the power of your offering and sacrifice. And I said, I'll just give you this analogy that, I mean, sums it all up. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. But if you read clearly that scripture, John chapter 4, the Bible says that, and God accepted Abel and his sacrifice. But God did not accept Cain and a sacrifice. Which means that your offering begins from you. And many of us have the attitude of, but I did it now, but I sang now. So I've been singing this church since. Nobody even appreciates. Oh my God. When my church started, God said, sent me to work with Pastor Gideon. And I knew nobody was there when God spoke to me. I didn't have anything, but I had to work with him. I had offers to come to different places. No, it was the one I had to work with. There was something I needed to tie that to. Yes, I would lead worship day in, day out. We had meetings virtually every day. Every day. And I have a keyboard. I would just be leading worship. There was a particular Sunday. I was tired. I felt like, I mean, I don't have money. I don't have nothing. Nobody's even appreciating me. I've never collected a dime from the church. I just do it. Sometimes I don't have money. There was a particular day. God sees my heart. And that was my worship. I didn't have transport money to go to church. I dressed up. I was still living my parents. I dressed up. One of my clothes is laughing. She knows the story. I dressed up, you know, and I was just believing, oh God, you send it. As in, who is going to lead worship today? As in, I was just believing God. This I was pacing in my room. I was thinking, I just know that God always shows up for me. So I sat down and I was just thinking, I was looking at my wristwatch, thinking time was going, you know, and I just said, God, whoa, I'm not going to kill myself about it. It's how you always do it. And I put my head down, you know, and I slept. So service was like 6, maybe service, evening service, like 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I woke up at 8 o'clock. So immediately I woke up, I removed my shoes. I had worshipped. Your sacrifice doesn't need to be known by everybody. Let me tell you something again. The worship or the sacrifice that you give that can change your life forever, most times it's between you and God. It's between you as in nobody. The person beside you, your leader doesn't know about it. Abraham stepped into a worship meeting with his son. He came out. It wasn't the same Abraham that went in, that came out. Something about his destiny, his entire generations had changed by one encounter. What makes your offering or your sacrifice acceptable to God? Is this one thing I would add to it? I call this the greatest stage performance. Because many of us are after the doing. Many of us are after the doing, but God is after the being. He's more concerned about you being. There's something, there's someone he wants you to become. When you become that person, whatever you bring to the table is acceptable. You all know about Michael Jackson. They said even inside, if he coughs safe, he can sell 10 million copies. Because it's Michael Jackson. He had become somebody. All the skills you run did not reach. If he just does an album, that's all he did. He will sell 20 million copies because he has become somebody. God is more about us becoming than being. So what made the sacrifice of Jesus, which is what I call the greatest stage performance, more powerful than all that we are giving on Sunday mornings, was not the fact that he was nailed to that cross. Let me ask you a question. If any of us were to be nailed to the same cross Jesus was nailed upon, would it have meant anything more? Seriously. Would it have meant anything more? But it's the same death now, as in, like now, you love God so much. Collins, I know you love God so much, okay? As in, you love God so much, and you decide to say, come, please. Just tell the people that you know what, all the sins that they committed, the ones that they committed last week and last night that we don't know about, that you will die for them. Just look into their face and say it passionately.
My guy, what you did yesterday night, eh? I give up my life for you, eh? All right, so everybody, because of the love that I have for all of you, I'll lay down my life for everybody. All right? Do you feel like...
So, any of us gets on that cross to die, it probably doesn't mean anything, or it cannot mean the same thing with the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. So what makes his own offering different? It was the totality of his worship, his life, the entire life. She called worship a lifestyle. His entire life together that was hanging on that cross. Every single moment he said no to temptation, he was worshiping. That moment where nobody was there, where he decided to say, you know what, God, I really love you, and this is what I'm going to do. Because God cannot, it's our lives. The Bible calls us living sacrifices. Cain's sacrifice to the Lord was corrupt. It wasn't pure, and the Lord rejected it. Let me say at this point, so that it's not like I'm saying a hard doctrine. God is not speaking to you to be perfect. He doesn't expect, expect us to be perfect. Okay? That's not what he's looking for. He's not looking for you to be perfect. We are human, and he understands that perfectly. So he has taken care of that. He just needs our hearts to be perfect towards him. Have you read about David and Solomon before? Have you read about David and Saul? You might have heard it if you've not read it. Just read the story of David. That the atrocities that David committed, you can't compare to what did Saul do? But his heart was not right. His heart was not perfect towards God. I read about Solomon, and I wrote a song on that called Completely. By God's grace, I'll release that song this year. The Bible says of Solomon that his heart was not perfect towards God like his father David. So, it's a sacrifice of hearts that we're laying down on this altar. It was the entire life of Jesus that was hanging on that cross that made him more powerful. That is why you can see someone like my friend, Victoria. For those of us that have seen her videos on YouTube or online. Set my heart on fire for you. I want to burn for you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Set my life in order for you. Hey, for you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Set my heart for you, Lord. For you. Set my life in order. I want to burn. I want to know your heart. I want to know your ways. Yes. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. I want to know your ways. I want to see your face, God. I want to know your heart. I want to leave your heart. I want to know your ways. Hallelujah. So I can freely use her as an example. Not because she's perfect. She's my very good friend. Okay, so we quarrel all the time, and I know her that well, okay? But I have seen sacrifices that lady has made that in my mind, no, not in my mind, because I tell her, we are friends, but I respect her any day, anytime till tomorrow. And she's always behind me, everything I do, everything that I do. I've seen sacrifices she has made that I know that the anointing that is coming out from her worship. Some of us are just meeting her now. You're just knowing her now. She has been there. Okay? She has been there. But she's not an outside person. She likes to just be within. Now, this is somebody who has dedicated her life to God and to worship. She told me one day, she spent 21 days fasting. Okay? Now, take note, I've established that it's not about the doing. You know, but these things, when they are done in faith, when they are done in faith, I repeat, when they are done in faith, the results are different, or the result is different. That's a point for someone. When it's done in faith, the result is different. The woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus in faith. Her result was different. Every other person was touching Jesus. It made no meaning. It's a secret for you. When you lead worship in faith, it's different. When you worship God in faith, knowing that he hears me. You know, someone's just saying, we don't really know that God is hearing us. It's just a song. You just like the song, so you're singing it. Okay? So, she fasted for like 21 days. On the 18th day, she was tempted to break. This is not fasting that church said, let us fast. Some people now be complaining, Pastor, can we eat around 12? You know, this was her own decision to fast. And so, at the 18th day, they had a party or something in her house. There was food everywhere. She was tempted to eat. Said God. She was really tempted to eat. And she told another mutual friend of ours, I'm going to eat too. He said, are you sure? You want to break today? You've tried 18 days. She hadn't taken anything, just water. Then all of a sudden, she says no. There was something that brought her, that made her stay there. She went to her room and locked the door. She slept off till the next day. While she was sleeping, she had a dream. And in that dream, the glory of God came over her like a garment, like a blanket. It just came on her. And she wore it like a garment. It was so bright. And she was so scared in the dream. She woke up. She woke up, her duvet was all over her body, and she was scared to open it. Because she felt, I told her, you have keyed into something. So she finished the 21 days and all that. Now, this is one out of a million stuffs. That this same lady has traveled all over Nigeria on her bill to the US to find God. To look for God. I'm like, what are you going to do? She has dragged me like this before to... where did we go to? To Zaria. Just 1 minute, we're like, there's a program happening in Zaria. She needs to get, you know, something there. David, let's go now. I'm like, well, I can't do that now because I'm married. Then, you know, and she was like, let's go. Miss Eva, I love God now. Let's go and find it. If you travel up north and go and see the worship there, this one that people are doing here, you are still clapping nursery rhymes. Those guys are hungry. They don't need your Alagbara, your songs. They don't need it. They have it in droves. And it just comes out. My life changes every time I go up north to worship with them. At times, I'm just like, it's me that is being blessed. And I begin to understand what, you know, Donnie McLaughlin says usually at the experience. Like, you guys think you were the ones blessing you. You are the ones blessing us. You know, so all the sacrifices that you give that nobody knows about, even Abraham's wife did not know. The sacrifice he was giving, that's worship. That's worship. Hallelujah. I think I will just stop here.